Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. And we are getting started just a tad later than normal. We appreciate the special music today. It's been a blessing. Thank you all folks who work so hard to prepare and remind us of the glorious death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. And I want to speak about that good news today. And I'm going to ask you just to remain seated this morning. Normally we would stand together, but I want to jump right into the message and do your best if you would. I know that might be some emergencies. Of course, I understand that. But in the case of anything that's not an emergency, if you don't mind, I'll be done. I promise I'll be done in 3 hours. And anyway, some of you, breathe in, breathe out. No. We won't be long this morning, and the hour is already later than normal, but I want to share my heart with you. I'll do it quickly, and I want you to listen carefully, and we'll do our best to keep our attention focused and receive this incredibly important message that the Lord has for us today. 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." How that? Here it is. We're talking about the gospel. How that Christ, the virgin born, sinless, Son of God, Son of man, Colossians 2:9, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the one who on the road to Damascus said to Paul, "I am Jesus." "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus." I'm talking about God who walked on this earth, robed in human flesh, the God-man, the Son of God, the Son of man. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm not talking about the Jehovah Witness God. They don't believe He's God. I'm not talking about the Mormon God. They believe He and the devil are brothers. We're not talking about that God. I'm not talking about the Muslim Jesus, who's just a prophet. No, I'm not talking about the liberal, theological liberal version of Jesus, who's just a good man, is a good teacher. Oh, he was that, but he was much more than that. The gospel is not about a prophet. It's not about a good man. It's not about some other version of Jesus. It's about the Jesus of the Bible. Christ, which means anointed one, Christ, Messiah, the Savior. The gospel means good news. And if you got the wrong Jesus, it's not good news anymore. Imagine old Isaac getting married. Woke up the next morning, and it wasn't his beloved fiance, it was old tender-eyed. That's what Leah means. It means tender-eyed. You know what tender-eyed means? Ugly. I know. It is terrible, isn't it? Somebody just said, "Bless her heart," and that's the truth. Bless her heart. Bless his heart. Oh, my. Now, listen. There's more than one. My wife's first name is Terry. Terry Lynn. Now, there's more than one Terry Lynn. If I'm gonna smooch Terry Lynn, I better smooch the right Terry Lynn.
That's right.
Amen. Yep. Or death is coming to my household. And you're talking about Jesus all day long, you make sure you got the right one. Amen. Make sure you have the biblical Jesus. Amen. Amen. So what's the gospel? Gospel means good news. How that, we're back in verse 3, how that Christ died. How in the world? Ask that to Jehovah Witness friends. How in Revelation 1:18, don't turn to it for sake of time. When did God die? He died in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:18, "I'm He that liveth, I was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore." That's Jesus Christ. That's the cross we've been singing about. How that, verse 3, how that Christ died for our sins. For our sins. Look at me. How many say, nobody's perfect. You say that? Say amen. All right, guess what that means? That means we're all sinners. You know, nobody ever argues with me about that. Now, I've had a few folks believe in sinless perfection. Say, one guy told me while he's smoking a cigarette, blowing the smoke in my face. He said, I ain't sinned in a month. That's a true story. And anyway, some people get the idea you live above sin and whatever. As soon as you think you've lived above sin, you just sinned. Okay, anyway. If a man says he's not sinned, the Bible says he's a liar. All right, so we've all sinned, and you won't find anybody really argue that. Nobody's perfect. Nobody will argue that point. Nobody's perfect. So if Christ, Messiah, Son of God, come to walk upon earth as God the man, if he came and he died on the cross for our sins, think about what the implication of that is. How many? Who's the our there? Sinners. Our sins. I mean, again, how many of you say, I'm not perfect? Okay, then that's us. Our sins. Right? Now, what does that mean? What's the implication of that? Is that what we sung about for the last 30 minutes or so, that old rugged cross, how he took my sin and my shame on an old rugged cross, that was my place. He died in my stead. What does it mean in Romans 5:8 when it says, but God commendeth his love, demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, F-O-R, us, for us, in our place, instead of us. Meaning that what he got was what I deserve. Now that's where the flesh goes. That's where our pride, that's the sticking point of our pride. Well, I'm not perfect, but once in a while somebody says, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm not like a sinner. How many of you say, how many times would I have to commit murder to be considered a murderer? I think at least 7, right? Maybe 20. What if I limited it to just one a week? Surely you wouldn't be so judgmental as to label me a murderer. I mean, only murder one person a week. How many of you say this is ridiculous rationale, Pastor? Understand that that's ridiculous, right? Well, I see. How many lies would I have to tell to be a liar? One. How many sins would I have to be to commit to be a sinner? One. If Christ died for sins, he died for sinners. And my friend, let me tell you something. You can't do anything about the sin of the person next to you or in front of you, behind you, but you do have to answer for your own sin, and I've got to answer for my own sin. I don't need to pay his bills. He don't have to pay my bills. I don't have to stand in his judgment seat and take the blame for what he did, but I'm responsible for what I did. And the Bible said it's appointed to the man once to die, and after this, the judgment, I will give account for my sin. Now, wait a minute. If Christ died for our sins, listen to me, then Christ is a fool if there's no other way, if there's another way to pay for my sins. If there's another way to pay for my sins, then Christ should have done that. What a fool to come and be butchered on a cross for our sins. If indeed the baptismal waters wash away sins, why did he just come down here and spend a year or two getting baptized 100 times a day? Till he had all the world population taken care of, then he'd just go back to heaven. Not have to be spat upon, not have to be beaten, not have to be nailed to a cross, not have to die. Why would he do such a thing? I'll tell you why. Because the wages of sin is death, and the only hope to satisfy the holiness and the justice of a God who cannot turn a blind eye to sin is to accept responsibility and pay the penalty, and the penalty of sin is death. That's why Christ died for our sins. You say, well, I know somebody, they do such and such. Try that in a court of law. Sir, you've been charged with murder. How do you plead? Well, my neighbor, he murders people all the time. I ain't half as bad as him. Oh, you're not? Oh, I'm sorry. Bailiff, let's let this man go free. If that did happen, it wouldn't be justice, would it? Justice is proof of innocence versus proof of guilt. Justice is not, I did more good this week than I did bad. Try that going home. I'll just take off out of here on Fayetteville Street about 100 miles an hour. And when you get pulled over, and they say, sir, you know how fast you're going? Oh, yeah. So you're going 100 miles an hour or 35 miles an hour? Well, I only do it on Sunday, sir. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So 6 days of the week I keep the speed limit, and you're going to pick on me for going 100 on one day of the week? Come on now. I do a lot more good than that. Is that going to help me, yay or nay? No, justice is not my bad weighed against my good. Justice is, can you prove you are innocent because the charges are that you're guilty? And you and I will stand before a holy God, a righteous judge of the righteous judge of the universe, and the charges against us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The laundry list of your sin may look a little different than the laundry list of my sin, but there be some pretty common ones on all of us. Pride, arrogance, selfishness, lust, hatred in our heart, envy, unbelief, fear, jealousy. Yeah. Well, I ain't never killed anybody. Well, congratulations. My dear friend, listen, heaven's not a fairly good place. The Bible said there's nothing there that will defile heaven. Nothing. If Christ died for our sins, that means he died in our stead, in our place. What does that mean? It means I should have been on that cross. And it means you should have been on that cross. And if that offends your sensibilities, the Bible said it would be so. The Bible talks about the offense of the cross. My dear friend, let me tell you something. Scripture is clear. To be saved from an eternal hell, to have your sins forgiven, to sing and rejoice in the resurrected Savior and the promise of eternal life in heaven does require humility. It requires you to say, I'm a sinner. And I deserve to go to hell for my sin. And if that offends your sensibilities, if that offends your religiosity, I would implore you to look honestly at your own life. God didn't say the wages of sin is death unless you go to church regularly. He didn't say the wages of sin is death unless you're a good Baptist. He didn't say the wages of sin is death unless you're a good Lutheran or a good Catholic. Or good Muslim, or good whatever. He said the wages of sin is death. And nobody deserves to pay for my sin but me. And nobody deserves to pay for your sin but you. Is that not reasonable? Yes. But hallelujah, the good news, the gospel, is that Christ died for our sins, verse 3. According to the scriptures, it was foretold. All the way back to Genesis chapter 1, you can find it. And verse 4, and that he was buried. Low in the grave he lay. Jesus, my Savior. In a borrowed tomb from Joseph of Arimathea. Vainly they sealed the dead. Jesus, my Lord. Soldiers stood by his tombstone. They put the official seal. Nobody getting in, nobody getting out. Might want to rethink that, fellas. How that he died. For our sins, according to the scriptures, and verse 4, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. I tell you something, never been a man that died, rose back up from the dead, and never died again. Lazarus died, but he died again. Lazarus died and was raised, but he died again. Others, Jesus raised. Jairus' daughter died, rose again. She died again. Jesus, the Bible said he died and he rose. Listen to it. Listen to it. Are you ready for it? And he is alive forevermore. Never to die again. What did he do that for? He died in our place to save us from eternal death in hell. The word gospel means good news. You'll find it 104 times in the New Testament of your King James Bible. 98 different verses, 104 times, used twice in several of those verses. The Bible says, and I give you a sampling of that word gospel, in Matthew 4:23, that Jesus went about all Galilee preaching the gospel. In Matthew 9:35, that he went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. It was the Lord's business on earth to tell the good news. He came, Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost. I got good news for you. You don't have to die and go to hell. I got news for you. I got good news for you. Amen. Yes, you deserve to pay for your sin. Yes, I deserve to pay for my sin. But I got good news for you. Christ died according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Yes, he's alive. He paid for our sins. That's good news, friend. Oh, listen to me. I don't have to die and go to hell to pay for my sin. Christ already died in my place. Oh, that's good news. We read in Matthew 11:5 that Jesus said, they come to Jesus and a doubter comes and says, how do we know you're the Son of God? He said, well, the blind receive the sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the gospel is preached. The good news is being proclaimed. Jesus offered his preaching of the gospel as proof of his deity. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible says the beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Mark said right at the beginning, Jesus is the good news. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, want good news? Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's that? Son of God who came to earth, lived sinless life, died on the cross for your sins and mine, was buried, rose again 3 days later, seated right now at the right hand of God the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to heaven. He's the only way. And you can be saved and not have to go to hell. That's good news, amen. That's good news. Jesus is good news. Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. Turn from your unbelief. Turn from Buddha. Turn from Muhammad. Turn from your own deeds. Turn from your religious system. What a beautiful person in history. Mary, the virgin, who gave birth to the Christ child. But if you have your faith in Mary, turn from your faith in Mary. The only person who can forgive your sins is the one who paid for your sins. You've seen me illustrate this all the time. What'd you drive today? What'd you drive today? Oh, this is a nice car. Can I see your keys? Honda Genesis. I saw you coming down Bedford Street. Did you see me? I saw you too. Is this it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Jason, I know you've been wanting a new car. And I just, out of the goodness of my heart, I want to give this to you. I want to give it. Aren't I a good man? Now, thank you. Is Brother Calvin going to have a problem with this? I don't care if he has a problem with it or not. No. Is he going to have a problem? Yes. Why? Because that's not mine to give. You say, why not? Because I didn't pay for it. Listen to me. Mary has no right to grant forgiveness of sins. The Mormon prophet has no right to grant forgiveness of sins. The priest, you go in a little booth and shut the door and you tell them all your sins, has no right to grant forgiveness of sins. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, that sounds so exclusive. That's so narrow-minded. What are you saying? Nobody else? You think you're the only one? Listen, I only know one person who died on a cross and rose from the dead, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only one who can forgive sins is the one who paid the debt. debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And when I put my faith in him, his payment is transferred to my sin account. And God Almighty says, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. In Mark 8:35, Scripture says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. The Bible declares this good news a cause worthy of our lives. My dear friend, this good news is a universal good news. It's the same the world over. It's good news on American soil. It's good news on Asian soil. It's good news on African soil. It's good news on any soil because it is a salvation that is true. It's not a cultural salvation. It's a whosoever will salvation. And Jeff and Joy Ryder went so many years ago to the jungles of Papua New Guinea to a tribe that never had the scriptures before and reduced their language to writing, put together scriptures for them, began to witness to them in many, many, many months. I don't remember how long, I think into years, as he faithfully witnessed and lived among the people and loved them and showed them the love of Christ, did everything he could to find a way to explain the gospel. And I remember the testimony. He found a berry in the jungles, and when you crush the berry, it would turn blood red. And sharing the gospel one day, took those berries, and he crushed the berries in his hand. And he held his hands up, and somewhere in the back, one of those men said, "It's the blood. It's the blood." And the light of truth dawned upon hearts that had been darkened for centuries. And a man got saved, and another, and another, and another. And it's like the gospel witness just swept over that village as the light of truth, the deception, the scales fell off their eyes, and the light of truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior here in the darkened jungles of Papua New Guinea. The same salvation, the same good news that saved me as an 8-year-old kid in 1979 is the same gospel that'll save you no matter what your culture, no matter what your religious affiliation. My sister's sitting here, and she's spent quite a few years in Thailand. My little brother, my youngest brother's over there now. And we've seen videos as a church family of those dear Thai people that were in idol worship. And they come to find out they don't have to worship idols. They don't have to light incense anymore. They don't have to genuflect anymore. They just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then all of a sudden they realize, what am I doing with all these idols? And then they read Exodus, they read the scriptures and realize, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. And we've seen the videos as they come and they take those idols, bust them up. They're free. They have the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. This gospel is good news wherever you go. Mark 13:10. The Bible said the gospel must first be published among all nations. Mark 14:9, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. In Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, this good news to every creature. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel shall be preached in all the world unto all nations. Can I tell you something, my dear friend? The whole world needs to hear this good news. Religious people need to hear it. Non-religious people need to hear it. People who say they believe in God. People who proclaim themselves to be atheists and don't believe in God. Everybody needs to hear this good news. There's some good news that Christ came and He died according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He rose again. That's good news. I don't have to pay for my sin for an eternity in a godless hell, a darkened pit, where the fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not. I can be saved because of Christ's sacrifice. In Luke 20, verses 1 and 2, it came to pass that on one of those days, as he, Jesus, taught the people in the temple and preached the good news, the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. Tell us, by what authority dost thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? Let me tell you something. The simple gospel of Jesus Christ has always rocked the boat of religious establishment. So many of the doctrines of religion do not set you free. They keep you bound to a religious system. We have seven babies in heaven. The first one, as you know, most of you know, our first little girl lived for 3 months and she had open heart surgery and God took her to heaven. Over the course of the next number of years, a set of twins and four other little babies God took to heaven before they were born. Many of you dear moms here and dads have experienced these things. Now, our little Abigail that died at 3 months of age, listen to me. Don't take my word for it. Go down to Books A Million, do what I did, and buy a Catholic, help me out. Catechism, thank you. Which, by the way, for the first time in 400 years, was updated about 25 years ago. And buy you a copy and open it up like I've done and read and highlight it. And you don't believe me, take my word for it. You come to my office afterwards. You go in there and I'll show you in their own Roman Catholic doctrine, in their own catechism, published for anybody that wants to read it. Problem is, most people don't read that nor the Bible. They don't know the differences. But you go to my office if you want to. And you can look at it with me. According to the doctrine in that book that I bought from Books A Million right in Randolph Mall, my little baby girl is burning right now. You know why? Because she wasn't baptized in a Catholic church. You say, oh, that's awful to say. Yeah, it's awful to say. It's awful to say it. It's awful to teach it. And it's good to expose it. What a dastardly thing to say to someone. What a wicked thing to say to someone. I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend. Christ is our hope. Not a religious system, not a religious code of conduct, not a Baptist church, not a Baptist preacher, not a Baptist baptistry, not a Lutheran Catholic baptism. Let me tell you something. Christ is our hope. He's the good news. I have no more power to forgive your sins than any other man on earth. Jesus infuriated the religious establishment. It is they who contrived his crucifixion and paid for his betrayal. Paul wrote in Acts 8:25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Oh, I like this part. This good news is not just for the city folk, it's for the village folk. It's not just for the high class, it's for the low class. The Samaritans, that was the other side of the tracks in that day. Those were the folks that took the heat. Those were the folks that got made fun of. The Samaritans. And the Bible says that the servant of God was sent to preach the gospel in the villages of the Samaritans. Oh, let me tell you something. The gospel is good news. But it's not just good news for intellectual folks. Hey, it's for intellectual and ignoramus. Amen? Intellectual? I'm sorry. It's good news for the city folk and the village folk. It's good news for the down and outer and the up and inner. It's good news for kings. It's good news for peasants. It's good news for the high class, the low class, the rich, the poor, the Jews, the Gentiles, the red, black, white, brown, yellow, green, whatever color. It's good for everybody. It's good for young. It's good for old. It's good for healthy. It's good for sick. It's good for religious. It's good for non-religious. It's good for educated. It's good for uneducated. It's just good news. It's good news for all. In Acts 20:24, the Apostle Paul, who had given his life formerly, he was a Pharisee, was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He had the elite education of his day. And he persecuted those who believe like I'm preaching right now. He persecuted them. He presided over the martyrdom of Stephen. And then on the road to Damascus, God got his attention. He figured out that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, that he had died for his sins and rose from the dead, and so transformed Saul's life that he later became known as Paul. He wasn't the same man, and he gave his life to spread this good news. And the Bible said in Acts 20:24, Paul wrote, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, here's what he said. Let me paraphrase it. He said, man, I'm going all the way to the finish line, and it's been my joy to serve in the gospel ministry. It's been my joy to spend the rest of my life since the day that he knocked me off my horse on the road to Damascus and I figured out who Jesus Christ was. It's been my joy to give my life to minister the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm not moved by the mistreatment I've received. I'm not dissuaded by the tyrants who tried to dismiss me. I'm not quitting because of persecution. I'm not afraid to lose my life for this magnificent cause of telling the good news. And he catalogs in his letter to the Corinthian church how that he'd been persecuted. He said, yes, I've been beaten with rods, but I'm still going to tell the good news. And yes, I've labored, but I'm still going to tell the good news. And yes, I've been whipped more times than I can count, but I'm still telling the good news. And I've been in and out of prison my whole ministry, but I'm still telling the good news. And I've been at death's door repeatedly and even crossed the threshold of death's door at Lystra when I was stoned to death. And God raised me up and I saw things in the third heaven unlawful for a man to speak. But he woke me up, and I'm still preaching the good news. Yes, I've been shipwrecked. Yes, I've been alone in the sea in the open water. Yes, I've been robbed. I've been betrayed. I've been weary. I've been in pain. It's a way of life for me. I've been cold and naked without food. I've been starving. But I've got some good news to tell, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life telling the good news. Can I tell you something? I came to Ashborough 28 years ago, knock on a door, door open, a certain look come on a person's face. And I would say, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, okay. Now they knock on the door, and the Jehovah's Witness says, we're not from Bailey's Grove. They said, why are you so passionate about this? Because I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I don't want anybody to die religious and lost. I don't want anybody to hope their way into eternity. I just want you to know, as 1 John 5 says, know that you have eternal life. Would you bow your heads, please? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.